What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. And the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Getting on back to the news here. Over in Crimea, the FSB has thwarted a Kiev terrorist plot. And they've arrested a gang member who had 12 kilograms of TNT, which is a lot. That's a pretty big bang. And apparently the accused is related to the nationalist organization Noman, I can't even pronounce it, Battalion. And this was a prominent figure in Crimean Tatar history. He was head of the Crimean Tatar National Government in 1917-1918 and was a writer, poet, and author of the national anthem. But apparently Kiev was getting ready to do something really nasty inside Crimea, and it has now been thwarted. Now, this really should wake people up as to how dangerous the situation is. More than 40 U.S. senators have called on President Donald Trump to conduct a multinational military operation against Russia in the Black Sea. Now, they're saying this is all about freedom of navigation, as well as to demonstrate support for, quote, internationally recognized borders, end quote, and to resist the excessive claims of Russia to sovereignty. The senators are also calling for NATO to increase its presence in the Black Sea, as well as a call for European allies and partners to deny Russian warships the right to call their ports for resupply and refueling. Well, I have a message to those 40 U.S. senators. Here are your rifles. Here are your parachutes. Here are your day-glow jumpsuits left over from the CIA torture centers. And first of all, you need to understand access to the Black Sea is covered by a treaty called the Montrose Convention, which says that only nations that border the Black Sea itself are allowed to have a permanent presence there. Other ships are time limited, especially warships. Of course, we understand we live in an age where the United States government is basically abandoning treaties left and right. But one of the senators over there is out there saying that this is a reckless move by these 40 senators. And it's going to incite more mischief from Kiev. And they're absolutely right. Now, apparently, also in this document, along with NATO should be in the Black Sea and everything, it included the call for an end to the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline, which is supposed to link Russia and Germany along the bottom of the Baltic Sea. So once again, we see the true motive. Cut off that pipeline, keep Germany dependent on pipelines that we have control over rather than Russia. Okay, Ukraine is going to send more warships back to Azov despite the Russian capture of the two patrol boats and the tugboat. And from the way they're describing it, it looks like, once again, they will not notify Russia 48 hours in advance that they wish to transit the Kerch Strait, or remind them 24 hours ahead of time that they're still going to do it. That was the only requirement for anybody to go into the Sea of Azov. Is you just go through that little process. Let Russia know you're going to be there. But Ukraine is out there saying, this should be freedom of navigation. Anybody should have the right to come and go as they please. Well, that's ridiculous. When you're dealing with a narrow channel, there's got to be some kind of traffic control, and that's what this is all about. You know, freedom of navigation. People don't just cram through the Panama Canal as fast as they can, or the Suez Canal. So, again, Ukraine provoked this. They provoked this thing. Okay, the Secretary of the National Security and Defense Council of Ukraine, Oleksandr Turchynov, said that Ukraine plans to carry out a new passage of ships through the Kerch Strait with the involvement of international partners. He says, this is for us fundamental. If we stop and retreat, Russia will actually fulfill its task of seizing the Sea of Azov, presenting to the world certain new sea borders of the Black Sea, de facto legalizing the occupation of the Crimea. Now, one more time, Crimea voted to leave Ukraine, then voted to merge with the Russian republics. Now, putting this stuff all together, it looks to me like this major naval operation these 40 senators are urging Donald Trump to do is to basically go up and conquer Crimea, invade Crimea, and hand it back to Ukraine. And I have to admit, I can't imagine Russia sitting still for that one. That would definitely be way, way over the line. But we all have to keep pushing back on that propaganda that somehow Russia stole Crimea. And we need to just keep telling everybody the Crimean people, following the U.S.-sponsored coup d'etat that drove Yanukovych from power and installed Poroshenko, the Crimean people held a referendum, and they seceded, which is their right under the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Then they held a second referendum to merge with the Russian republics. Russia didn't invade. Russia didn't annex them. Russia didn't conquer them. Russia isn't occupying them. We're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Okay, U.S. forces are establishing a new base in Iraq near the border with Syria. And this is in defiance of widespread calls to end its military presence in Iraq. Iraq is sick and tired of us being there as well. And American troops have built a military base in the Al-Maliha area near the town of Al-Qa'im, which is located nearly 400 kilometers northwest of Baghdad and along the Euphrates River. This is from Iraq's independent Arabic language newspaper Al-Mashriq, quoting the town's mayor, Ahmed El-Malawi, as saying, the new base is close to the borderline with Syria, apparently aimed at monitoring the border to protect the U.S. forces deployed inside Syria near the Iraq-Syrian border. Well, that's no longer going to be necessary because the U.S. forces, we are told, are going to be leaving. And the mayor noted this is the second base of its kind because another one was set up earlier this month. So, looking at the Euphrates here, you have Iraq and Turkey on one side, and you have Syria on the other, and in particular the area held by the Kurds, who basically want their own country. And for a while, the U.S. was supporting them. When it looked like we were going to win in Syria and actually start breaking it up, oh, we're going to give the Golan to Israel, and we're going to break off a chunk, that'll be the new Kurdistan. But right now, the Kurds must be feeling very much like they're being abandoned by their U.S. backers, which would be true. Okay, a report by a Palestinian Human Rights Center reveals that Israeli forces have killed at least 54 Palestinian children and arrested over 900 others since the beginning of this year. And the report also said that 80% of the children were killed during the peaceful demonstrations in the so-called buffer zone in the Gaza Strip, the Great March of Return. And the report condemned what it described as Israel's systematic violation of Palestinian children's rights, to which I would add all Palestinians' rights. Now, according to the group's investigation conducted by the Palestinian Center for Study and Documentation, Israel's rights violation is not limited to trial of children in military courts, but it starts from the moment of arrest, where Israelis will carry out interrogation sessions in which children are often handcuffed, blindfolded, beaten, and insulted. The latest child victim from Khan Yunis in southern Gaza was 4 years old. Okay. Now, members of the Israeli parliament have given preliminary approval to controversial legislation enabling the forced displacement within the West Bank of Palestinian attackers' family members. And The bill comes after a wave of deadly Palestinian attacks against Israeli civilians and soldiers in the occupied West Bank, with its sponsors saying it would deter future attackers. I really doubt it, because what they're describing as deadly Palestinian attacks against Israeli civilians and soldiers are a response to the soldiers and settlers invading their towns. We were talking about one yesterday where they just marched into this town, started shooting up the school. Apparently, there were some Arab lawmakers who were expelled from the chamber for disrupting the procedures. Okay, now, interestingly enough, two senators, Feinstein and Sanders, urged the Senate leaders not to include controversial legislation targeting boycotters of Israel in an end-of-the-year spending the bill that must pass to keep the government running. And what's really interesting is that both Feinstein and Sanders are themselves Jewish, but they warned that including this bill, this anti-boycott act in the bill, would infringe on free speech and violate Senate officials' commitment to oppose controversial writers on appropriations bills. Well, good for them. I definitely agree. What may be going on here is the realization that the instant that bill is passed with that rider, you're going to have public interest groups like Judicial Watch or Freedom Watch, they're going to go right to the Supreme Court. And there is no way the Supreme Court is going to say that law is constitutional. It is a clear violation of the First Amendment. Now, the latest word we have on the budget and the government shutdown is that the Senate, or rather the House, is already rewriting the new budget. They're putting the money for the wall back in. So it looks like, and good for Donald Trump. Good for Donald Trump. He's finally put on those presidential brass knuckles. Now, the New York Times, which is normally very pro-Israel in its editorial position, is actually calling out AIPAC and the Anti-Defamation League for the assault on free speech criticizing Israel. So this is going to be a loser. It will not withstand a Supreme Court challenge, and it will be a major defeat for Israel and its supporters. And so the New York Times, Feinstein, and Sanders may be saying, let's avoid that embarrassment. Now, resistance to U.S. laws censoring criticism of Israel has now been driven mainstream by this incident down in Texas, where the speech pathologist was required to sign what amounts to a loyalty oath to Israel, basically a pledge not to support the boycott, not to criticize Israel. And what's that got to do with speech pathology or the state of Texas? But apparently there are now two separate lawsuits filed this week against that Texas law requiring state contractors to certify they will not boycott Israel. One of the lawsuits was filed by a local newspaper in Arkansas, which refused to sign a similar pledge in order to win an advertising contract. Now, on Monday, the Council of American Islamic Relations filed a federal lawsuit on behalf of Bahia Amawi. This is the speech pathologist in Texas who refused to sign, who lost her contract with the Austin Public School District because she would not sign that statement saying she would not boycott Israel. And now the ACLU is stepping on in. They're filing a First Amendment challenge to the state law that requires government contractors to certify they are not engaged in boycotts of Israel or territories controlled by Israel. Now, the lawsuit was filed on behalf of four Texans, argues that the law, HB 89, which went into effect last year, does violate the First Amendment's protection against government intrusion into political speech. And this could be the one that goes all the way to the Supreme Court and ends all this nonsense about trying to pass laws in this country saying you cannot criticize or boycott Israel. Now, the pro-Israel people are back on out there saying this law is justified. We have to stop the boycotts against Israel, because after all, the Nazis' first action against the Jews was a boycott of Jewish businesses. So apparently, if you're a supporter of the First Amendment, you're a Nazi. And I'd like to remind everybody that before the Nazis took any actions against the Jews of any kind, Judea declared war on Germany following its shutting down of the private central bank. They were calling for a global boycott on Germany. But that was a good thing because, you know, it's on our side now. The other day we were talking about how two Palestinian boys who were up on the roof of their home were killed in what Israel likes to call knocking on the roof. The way Israel claims that they're going to minimize civilian casualties is they'll fly over a building, they'll drop a small bomb on the roof that will cause a lot of damage, but it will tell everybody inside the building, you've got so many minutes to get out because we're coming back to level the place. But apparently there were these two boys that were just up on the roof. They got killed. And Israel came on out with a video showing we had no way of knowing. We couldn't see them. It's already been revealed that Israel's military tampered with its own surveillance footage of the attack to conceal the fact that the children were visible to the drone pilots who carried out the strikes. Okay, the World Food Program announced on Wednesday they have to have cuts in food to Gaza, to some 190,000 impoverished Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank, citing a severe funding shortfall. The money is not coming on in. And the UN agency said it would, as of January the 1st, suspend food assistance to 27,000 people in the West Bank. In addition, food aid to 165,000 people in the territory in the Gaza Strip would be reduced by 20%. Meanwhile, speaking of boycotts, Israel has stopped importing all West Bank fruits and vegetables. Even though they're constantly at odds with each other, Israel likes that West Bank produce, and they have been importing it from the West Bank to sell in Israeli markets. And it's one of the ways the Palestinians can make some money. That's their thing, really, is agriculture. Fruits, vegetables, oranges, olives, that kind of thing. But apparently Israel is now boycotting the West Bank farmers to put more economic pressure on them. Now, Israel has decided that they are not going to allow any more vaccines to enter Palestine. And the story began with this. Laura Hamden had no idea when she went to the health services center in Ramallah to vaccinate her one-year-old daughter. The vaccination was not available, and she had to wait until Israeli authorities allowed the vaccines to enter Palestine. Actually, in this case, Israel is doing the Palestinians a favor, if you look at how dangerous those vaccines have become. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sure Israel's going to say, oh, yeah, sending crates and crates of the vaccines here. Just get them all over there here. Meanwhile, the United States is going to increase aid to Israel by $200 million in 2019. And the requested funds are the result of a $38 billion 10-year memorandum of understanding signed between Israel and the United States at the end of Obama's term. Now, you have to wonder, what does Israel have on U.S. politicians that would allow them to let Americans starve and go homeless, especially our veterans, as Israel sells billions in arms, including the Iron Dome system? I mean, you think about that. My opinion is this government has no business sending a penny of your tax dollars to any foreign government while there are Americans sleeping in alleys and eating out of trash dumpsters. I was kind of hoping that that would be part of Trump's putting America first agenda. Okay, we're going to take a break here for commercials, and we will be right back. We'll be right back.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And apparently, relations between Israel and Russia are not doing too good. And apparently, things have been tense ever since that shoot down of the Ilyushin 20 aircraft in Syria, which Moscow blames on Israel carrying out a strike without an advance warning so the plane could get out of the way. And it's been complicated by the fact that Moscow is now dealing directly with people in Palestine. Putin is going to meet the head of Hamas. And Hamas is sending their political bureau head, Ismail Haniyeh, would travel to Moscow. And it was an official invitation from the Russian Foreign Ministry. And Palestinian Authority Foreign Minister Riyad Maliki has also been invited to Moscow. It's not clear whether he would sit down with Haniyeh. So that situation is out there. Now, as you know, the United States is pulling out of the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty on the claim that a newly developed Russian missile exceeds the limitations of that treaty. And the United States is now demanding that Russia allow the United States to inspect that new nuclear missile. which basically amounts to we're going to spy on it and see if there are any cool ideas in there that we can take. Russia has said basically they're not going to do that. It's not justifiable. And in any event, the United States had previously refused Russian requests to inspect U.S. submarines in relation to a different arms treaty. So that is really going nowhere. Okay, now, as you know, there's a big case going on here in the United States, which is more Russia bashing, and it has to do with Maria Butina, who supposedly has confessed she's a Russian agent working for the Kremlin. And what she'd been doing inside the United States of America, she was working for the National Rifle Association, and she was making contact with members of the Republican Party. And the U.S. government is saying she was actually working for the Kremlin. Moscow is insisting that the charge is absolutely ridiculous, and they fear that she was coerced into making the confession. Well, come on now. The United States government would never coerce a confession. Remember Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the guy who was considered, that we were told was the mastermind of 9/11? And he confessed. He confessed. They only had to waterboard him 180 times to get that confession. So, yeah, the United States does force confessions. Over in France, things are still very tense regarding the yellow vest. And interestingly enough, Emmanuel Macron has turned to his predecessor, Sarkozy, to ask for advice. And apparently they met at the Elysee Palace for lunch and discussed public order, as well as Macron's recently announced tax exemption for overtime work. Now, there's a very alarming story coming out of Investment Watch blog where apparently French security forces are ready to smother the center of Paris with what's called a last resort chemical weapon in a bid to keep protesters away from key buildings. And apparently this system sprays a powder which, when it gets in contact with your skin, it's debilitating, and it can be spread across an area the size of 6 soccer pitches in just 10 seconds, which underscores the increasing desperation of Macron's administration, because the protests, contrary to what you're hearing in the corporate media, they're not fizzling out, and they're not going away. So here we have Macron using chemical weapons against his own people. So I wonder when Donald Trump is going to send in those cruise missiles to blow up something really important inside France as a lesson that rulers of countries are not supposed to use chemical weapons on their own people. Over in China, they have arrested a third Canadian citizen as this feud worsens. And no further details were provided other than saying that the Canadian government was aware of a third citizen being detained. And Global Affairs diplomatically refused to connect this third arrest to the arrest of Huawei CFO Meng Wanzhou in Vancouver earlier this month. Now, she's been released on bail, but she's got to wear an ankle bracelet. But there is an idea out there. And this is coming from Russia Insider. The Chinese actually hold a royal flush in this game. All they have to do to get the U.S. to release Ms. Meng is seize Sheldon Adelson's Chinese casinos. Say, we're going to nationalize them. Because as I recall, Adelson is already in legal trouble with the Chinese government over a bribery scandal. So we're going to nationalize the casinos. All right, we're going to take another break for commercials. We have another caller waiting on the line, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And this story is just breaking now. Defense Secretary James Mattis is retiring. He'll be stepping down from his post at the end of next February. This was just announced by Donald Trump. So we'll see who he's going to get in there. But, Mattis was a war hawk. No two ways about it. All right. We're going to take a phone call from Kevin in West Virginia. Aloha, Kevin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mr. Mike. I hope you're having a wonderful day today. What's on my mind is I was listening to Roger Stone earlier today, and he was talking about Trump's tweets and about how if the Democrats actually go through with trying to remove him in any way, that the American people will revolt. Do you see that in the same light as he does, or are we ready for that, or do you think that'll even happen?
I got to be honest, I think Trump is letting his ego get the better of him. He's unfortunately starting to believe his own propaganda about how loved he is and how popular he is. And that's always a dangerous situation for anybody, whether they're in government or entertainment. There'd be a lot of anger and there might be a lot of protest, but a full-on revolt, I don't know. I don't think the American people are really ready for that yet.
I think you're right. And about the border, about the wall, man, I have the same feelings Art does and probably the rest of the country. You know, we can send that much money to aid to Central and South America, but yet we can't have a wall. And I actually have a solution on the border wall anyway, something that could be a whole lot cheaper, and that would be landmines. But I know that's probably... I know that's probably hateful, but I mean, I think it would work.
Yeah, it would, but again, there are now international treaties in place regarding the use of landmines, and there's going to be the ancillary problem of livestock stepping on a mine, which is going to anger farmers on both sides of the borders. So I don't think it's really a viable idea. You know, I just thought it would be great to just put crocodiles in the Rio Grande. Nobody listens to me about these things.
I think you're right. Well, that's all I have for you today. And I hope you give Miss Claire best wishes, and I hope you have a great day.
I thank you. I will, and I will. All right. Okay, North Korea has changed its negotiating posture regarding denuclearization. And North Korea is saying that the U.S. must completely eliminate its nuclear arsenal in that part of the world first, and then North Korea will feel they're comfortable enough where they can proceed with denuclearization. Now, I'm not sure what Kim Jong-un is thinking, because the United States could remove the nuclear weapons from that part of the world, and then within 24 hours put them right back. Or they could use long-range ballistic missiles launched from the continental United States. But Kim Jong-un is putting focus on the fact that for all this talk about North Korea's nukes and Iraq's nukes and Iran's nukes and everybody's nukes, the United States is, in fact, the only country that has ever actually used a nuclear weapon of mass destruction against the civilians of another country. And they did it twice. So he does have a valid point here, but it does indicate to me that the bromance is over and that there'll be no further progress on the North Korean situation here. A video has surfaced from Venezuela showing the reception that the Russian pilots of those supersonic bombers received after landing. They were being treated like heroes. It was a very warm, emotional welcome. And, of course, the Tu-160s themselves are impressive aircraft. Now, I don't like war, but the Russians build very beautiful aircraft. And the Tu-160 has the distinction of having the largest wingspan of any combat aircraft in use and being the fastest bomber in the world today. Now, Putin is planning a military base on the island of Orchilla off the coast of Venezuela. This will put a Russian military presence in the Caribbean, not as close as Cuba, but in an age of hypersonic weapons and supersonic bombers, it doesn't really matter any longer here. All righty, we're going to take a phone call. Ken in New York, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. Thank you. You know, I've been wondering every once in a while when Trump appears to do something that one would think that people would expect him to do in life, is it possible that perhaps he just gets tired of being worn down and every once in a while he puts a poke back, for example, at the war machine?
Well, it may be, but I would hope what's happening, it's a little late in his administration for it to be happening, but I would hope what's happening is that he's starting to realize, you know, that he is the president, and he does have certain powers, authorities, and prerogatives, and he's supposed to be a leader. And probably people who are advising him on his 2020 campaign are telling him that unless the American people start to see significant change in his behavior, especially regards the campaign promises he made, that he will be a one-term president. And that means, you know, getting back on board vaccine safety, getting him back on board cleaning up the election system, getting the Department of Justice and the FBI to finally look at what's going on with the Clinton email server and the Clinton Foundation. And I realized that's the third rail in Washington, D.C. Nobody wants to touch that because everybody's dirty with that foundation. And if I am correct that Hillary Clinton was using that private email server to sell U.S. secrets to foreign interests, that's a scandal that would bring the entire government down.
And do you notice, or I noticed, that this time, rather the last time he gave an order, it appeared that the Pentagon was just ignoring him and shuffling the papers and go on. But this one, I think, was so popular as far as the American people are concerned that I think he caught them all by surprise, and they couldn't very well criticize him, could they?
Well, you're absolutely right. Trump did not consult with the Pentagon or any of his advisors or anything before announcing the troop withdrawal from Syria. And now he's dropping hints that he wants to draw down the number of troops in Afghanistan. And he may have all of a sudden discovered that, yeah, he is the president and he has the right as commander in chief to dictate this policy. Now, he's got to be very, very dangerous here. Because one of the reasons John F. Kennedy was assassinated was he was trying to get the United States out of Vietnam.
Among other things. All right, thank you, Mike.
Yes.
That was all I had for tonight.
All right, well, thank you very much. We're going to let you go. All right, now, Vladimir Putin did one of his regular Q&As, and during the course of it, he made a very interesting comment. He said he regrets the growing global tendency of underestimating the risks of a nuclear war. And he said, I just thought somehow the danger of such a development in the world is somehow fading into the background. It seems impossible or something not so important. In the meantime, should anything like that happen, God forbid, this may result in the death of civilization and possibly the entire planet. And Putin hopes mankind will have enough common sense to prevent a third world war from ever happening. I certainly hope so, too. Now, part of the issue is that because of the ban on above ground testing, nobody has seen a nuclear explosion live and in person since the end of the above ground tests. And nobody got to see, a bomb. The modern generation, to them, it's a video clip that they see on TV. And, you know, the explosion is about the size of the TV screen. And they don't really comprehend just how powerful some of these weapons can be. When I'm talking to people around here on the island of Oahu about the possibility of a nuclear war, and you know, they say, well, you know, I live way up here in the hills here, and, you know, I don't have to worry about it. And say, well, all depends on who attacks us, because China's standard nuclear warhead is huge. And they do that because their ICBMs are notoriously inaccurate at hitting their targets exactly. So they just put a big bomb on the front of it. And just one of these Chinese nuclear weapons would turn this entire island into green glass. And a lot of people seem to have a hard time getting their mind around the idea of such a powerful explosion actually being real. But it is. And of course, for Claire and I, we're concerned about it because we have a first strike nuclear target right out that window there, which, hey, at least we don't have to worry about retirement. All righty, we've got a couple of callers waiting on the line. We're going to start with Errol from the Netherlands. Aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, am I on the line?
You are on the air.
On the air, on the air, yes. I came to a conclusion that the artificial intelligence also created by mankind is not the artificial intelligence that artificial intelligence would be, because they program the artificial intelligence in their mindset. So when you got neoliberals that want to program like YouTube and everything to censor all the people in the mindset to whatever, you know. They created mindset of artificial intelligence, and real artificial intelligence would always look at the brighter spectrum. So what we see now happening, also in 2019, in the new year, what we are going to come in, the new year, is those who control the AI programming are going to learn the AI program or programs, yeah, with an S, to see and to hear and to look, because they can look. They can look with webcams. They can analyze sound in program language, like sound, like music, and everything. I see something happening that the so-called, quote-unquote, artificial intelligence is not the real artificial intelligence. Because when the real artificial intelligence would be here, we had already another planet, you know. And I worked here in Space Expo with Wibo Ockels, with André Kuipers. We have some talks. We had some talks, and Wibo Ockels told me, "This is our planet. We are wasting our planet, and we have not another planet to go to. So we have not a spare planet to go to." Wibo Ockels, he was an astronaut. He said to he said in his final words, "This what the people nowadays are doing." Also, with programming or whatever, we need to get together. This Earth needs to survive because we have not got a spare planet. We need, or he said, we need to, or let our own Earth survive, or it will diminish. And
I'm okay with that. We have no
Stargate. You know, we have no Stargate. Okay. Thank you for my call. Elaborate on that.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. The problem here is that we don't have leadership that are really thinking about these kind of problems seriously. One of the artifacts of our system of government is everybody in power is thinking in time scales of 2 years or 4 years or maybe, you know, 6 or 8. Okay. Anybody who's talking about the environment is usually doing so as a scam to get more money from you, to get your obedience. That's what the global warming scam was all about. And even now they're still talking global warming, even as it's becoming obvious we're heading into a new Maunder minimum and a new ice age. They're not really looking at the real world. They're just caught up in their little political fantasy life here. And I don't know what it's going to take to actually get somebody to really wake up and say something does have to be done regarding the wise use of our resources, because war is one of the most wasteful and environmentally destructive things that there is, especially with these depleted uranium munitions that are being just scattered all over the planet. And it's very alarming. Anyway, let's take another phone call from Curtis in Nevada. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Hi, Mike. I've listened to your show for a while, the last few months, and I just have a few things that I consider important and I'd like to try to share.
Okay.
First of all, it's funny how the caravans have dropped from the news cycle, and within a few weeks, now you've got this deal being cut on the side, which to me is not a real problem if it's not permanent, if it's a temporary fix. You could, you know, to get these people to understand that we are no longer open for business like we have been for the past 30 years. So you come in here and just take advantage of us. So I don't have a problem with that. But I just wanted to say that I don't think there's going to be any major wars. I think that the deep state has is beyond their ability now to start anything major, okay? And that the leverage they have is much less than it was 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago. There's still a war being fought, and it concerns me that people aren't paying attention. All these things that are happening are still shots being fired. But no, it's like they don't grasp that. It's like an isolated incident. And for example, the Khashoggi thing is very important. It's very important. That's the reason why each state.
I agree. Curtis. Curtis, we got to take another commercial break. Stay on the line. I'm going to come right back to you after these few words. We'll be right back.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. L5.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working 2 jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we are talking with Curtis in Nevada. And Curtis, just kind of pick up where you left off.
Yeah, okay. Mike, you know, the deep state and the central banks are connected.
Yes. So I think the private central bank is an integral part of the deep state.
Well, yeah, exactly. And all these Federal Reserves they have in various countries throughout the world, they're all subsidiaries. You know, they're all, everything's connected. But the thing is they know the economy is going to collapse, not just in the U.S., but worldwide, yes. Because by design, like you've been saying, they're not long-term economic type of a solution. All they do is they charge you interest. Well, we know that. And we know that the plan was for Hillary, when she was to win, that they were going to engineer this war, cause a collapse, and blame it on the war. Like, that's their business model. Okay, that's been their business model for centuries. So what happened? Well, Trump disrupted that. So now they've been trying to desperately get a war going. But I honestly believe that Putin and Xi, for their own reasons, know this, and they're not going to let that happen. You know, the Chinese were being groomed to be the next head of the table like we were since World War II, after we fell. And then now that they know it's not going to happen, they released their hold on North Korea, okay? And Putin's been fighting them. And Trump, what he's doing now, he's fighting the Federal Reserve. He's asking, why do you keep raising interest rates? You're hurting the economy. That's part of the plan. Because now the Federal Reserve has no answers. They can't, you know, blame it on a war or anything. So what's going to happen when you cap? The collapse will come. And it may come sooner than we think. I don't know.
I think the reason the Federal Reserve is raising rates right now is that they want to basically undermine Trump's economy. And again, this is looking forward to that 2020 election. When they're going to try and get him out of the White House, if in fact he's still in the White House in 2020. And it's not the first time the economy is being manipulated for political gain. It does. It's hurting a lot of people. It's hurting ordinary Americans. But that's the whole point, to get them into difficulty, to get them hurting, and then say, oh, it was all Trump's fault. It isn't. It's the Federal Reserve's fault. And that's because the Federal Reserve, despite its name, is not actually a part of the federal government. It's a privately owned central bank, and it's no more federal than Federal Express.
Right. Mike, the thing is that they're fighting for control of the narrative. Who's going to be believed by the public? Trump's going to say, we need to audit the Fed. That's what he's working towards. The metrics he's using to measure the economy are the same ones the Fed was using. So the Fed can't say, oh, you're wrong, you're lying about, you know, the economy. Because he'll just say, well, I was just using the same metrics that you were. It's all about the narrative of what happens when the collapse comes, who's going to prevail. That's what it's all about, man.
Well, time will solve that mystery here. And Curtis, I'm going to have to let you go because we got to take a break for station identification.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.